chat. Live healthy, live whole, living in destiny. Loving you, Dr. Gina. Mind, body, and soul. Talk about what's on your heart. Be free, encouraging creatively. She does it all. Loving Dr. Gina. Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.
Okay. All right. So I don't know if Michelle is on yet, but I'm going to start off with the intro and all of that.
Michelle is with us.
Okay. Well, I'm going to bring her in a second. So
I'm here.
Okay. He's going to probably put you on hold for a second because I got to do the whole intro and everything.
No problem.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. All right. So, do you want to go ahead and do that, Don, or do you want, how are we going to do this? Because I've never done this before with you guys.
You've never done a pre-record?
I have, but I'm saying, like, I haven't done a partial pre-recording, like,
well, where I'll just count you in, you just start in, and we'll add whatever files need to be added later.
Okay, sounds good. Okay.
All right. Have at her. Just have fun.
I'm ready. All right. Thank you for tuning in to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. I'm so excited about being with you guys today. You know, I love you guys. I can't wait to spend my Wednesdays with you. And I'm just so, so blessed that you are with me and you have been riding with us every step of the way. We're going on, I don't know, 5 years now in 2020, and it's just been amazing. So I'm so appreciative that you guys have helped make this show one of the number one internet talk shows in the world. So I'm just so thankful to my producers, Doug and Don, and BBS Radio. I'm just so excited about all of the people that come on the show, all of my partners that come on and do the segments. It is just amazing. 2020 is going to be a good year. So let's, without further ado, let's go ahead and go on with the weather. So tomorrow in DC, so today in DC, it's going to be 48 degrees is going to be our high, partly sunny, and 37 is our low. And then we have in Detroit, we have 37 degrees and snowing. Today is going to be your high, 30 is going to be your low. Jacksonville, Florida, you have 66 degrees today and sunny. Your low is going to be 42 degrees. London, you are going to be 49 degrees is your high, and you're going to wake up to 44 degrees tomorrow morning. Also, in Atlanta, you are at a high of 59, sunny skies all day long. You're going to wake up to 42 degrees. Miami, you are 74 degrees and sunny all day. Your high is going to be 77 degrees and your low is going to be 56. South Australia, you are, you're going to be 101 degrees, sunny, sunny, sunny all day long. You're waking up to 64 degrees. You always have the best weather. Paris, you are at 41 degrees and you're going to wake up to 35 degrees. You got sunshines all day. Hawaii, you have rain showers all week long. Please be prepared. You're going all the way until next week. Rain, rain, rain. Your high today is 63 degrees and you're going to wake up to 52 degrees. Australia, you are at your high is going to be 84 degrees today. You're waking up to 46 degrees and sunshine all day long. Puerto Rico, you are at a 78 degrees today. Thunderstorms, but you're clearing up the rest of the week and you're waking up to 65 degrees. If I did not mention your continent, your city, your state, or your nation, listen, it doesn't matter what the weather is or what you're going through. God is with you and he is for you and he loves you so much. And so do we. Remember that he has the final say and he's in control of everything. Nothing gets past him. All right. All right. So we're going to take a short sponsorship break and then we'll be right back after this message. Have you ever prayed desperate prayers to God but have yet to hear an answer? Maybe you're about ready to give up. Maybe your friends or family are telling you to let it drop. Bestseller author John Eckhart has a different approach. Get more desperate. In his book, Desperate Prayers for Desperate Times, Eckhart invites you to a prayer life that sees results. He uses the story of Hannah as a model and walks you through the five key points of her prayer that resulted in breakthrough. Through biblical teaching and practical application, you can persevere in prayer no matter where you are in life, how bad things may look, or what situation you find yourself in. Check out Desperate Prayers for Desperate Times by John Eckhart, available online and where fine books are sold. All right, so we're going to go ahead with the ministerial moment, and I just want to encourage you. I know a lot of people have been saying that they're going through a lot in this season. I tell you, it has been very challenging. A lot of good things are happening, but then there's some weird stuff that's happening, and then there's some, you know, demonic mental attacks going on in people's lives and their minds and in their emotions and things like that. And it has been really like a roller coaster. And for some of us, we're used to things being good and we're coasting, or things being horrible and then we get the victory. But I feel like God is really testing our faith, or increasing our faith, I would say. I believe that our faith is being tried in this season and time. I believe that God is sending his anointing, his Holy Ghost fire, to really, really consume those things that cause us to worry, doubt, disbelief. I think that a lot of times we feel like we have made it or arrived to a plateau, but God has so much more for us to see and do. And sometimes we get comfortable, and I believe that God is shaking some things up out of our, taking us up out of our comfort zone. And I believe that he's given us new vision, and he's given us new experiences, and given us new insight on how he feels about things, and just how he sees things. And I think things are turning around a lot for us, and it's very uncomfortable for a lot of us. And we want to blame the devil, but I don't even believe that it's the devil. I know that it's God. I know that his hands is in it. I know that the enemy can't do anything that God does not allow him to do. So I don't even give him credit for anything. I just simply say to God, what is it that you want me to see? What is it that you want me to learn? I mean, I still may shed a tear. I still might, you know, like cry out to him, wailing out to him, but I know for a fact that he's in control. And it almost feels like I'm still his little girl, but yet it feels like he's maturing us as a whole, as his children. I feel like he's maturing us a lot in a lot of areas that we're vulnerable in. And I really know that God is strengthening us, and it's something more than just for a house, a car, you know, fame, fortune, or notoriety, or whatever. It's something that he needs us to get to, so we can be protected in the days to come. And we just are not at that level of wisdom. We've been distracted as a body of Christ. We've been focusing on things that just doesn't have anything to do with God and his kingdom. Like, I mean, he could care less. He blesses us with things and things like that. And all of that stuff comes with our kingsmanship. It's not something that, it's an inheritance. It's not something that, it's not something to him like, ooh, you know, they got a new car, a new house. That's not important to him. What's important to him is our soul. It's so important to him that he gave up his only begotten son for us to be redeemed to him. He loves us so much that it was that important, our soul, not the things that we get, not the things that we want, not the things that we don't, you know, all of these things. That's not what it's all about for him. And I feel like the enemy has come in just like he tried to tempt Jesus on the mountain after his fast, you know, with all these things, the fame, and you could do this and you could have this and you can have that. And that's not important to God. It's so many scriptures that reference that. It's not important to him. These are part of the inheritance. Abraham got it. David got it. I mean, everybody, they got it. I mean, it's access. It's accessible. It's not something that, you know, we can't have. And I know some of us don't understand it, but I believe that the closer we get to God, the more these things happen. These are just irrelevant things to him. What's really important is about our relationship with him, our knowing who we are in him, who he is, what the angelical host does for us. As far as kingdom operation, we're so, you know, wanting to learn all the demonic operation, but we don't even know how powerful our kingdom operation, our kingdom government is. It's so powerful. I mean, it's just, we don't, it's a lot that we don't know, and a lot of things like we do know, it gets challenging for us. It gets hard. It's a lot of sacrifice. I know it. I get it. But I have to continue to know and remain in the fact that I'm not quite perfected. I'm being perfected daily, but I'm not there. And I know that there's stuff that God wants me to, more he wants me to see, more that he wants me to know, more revelation, more acknowledgement of the power that is instilled in us individually and me and us as corporate and in us individually. And I'm saying in me and also us corporately, there's so much power. There's power in our words. There's power. There's anointing in our hands. Our feet are anointed with peace. Our hands, our loins, our everything is, every part of us is anointed. Our minds is anointed. We are anointed vessels to terrorize the enemy's camp. We just don't, we get there and then we get distracted. We win some battles and then we get knocked down. And God wants us to be those warriors, those victors, those overcomers, to know that we know who we are and what is behind us, what is around us. Like literally we have angelic hosts around us. We have warring angels and guardian angels and ministering angels and so many other. I mean, he just sends them out to fix things and block accidents and pluck the devil out from the minions and all of that stuff. I mean, it's just so much power where we are and who we are. So I just want you to be encouraged in this ministerial moment to allow the process to happen. Allow your trust in God to increase. Allow your faith in him to increase. Allow your understanding to grow. Allow him to remove the scales from your eyes. Allow him to show you more of him and the kingdom that you represent. So you will walk in confidence and boldness in the name of Jesus. All right. So I just pray that over you guys, that you guys be filled with the power of God, that the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, and that you know exactly who you are and what you represent, and know that you are not alone. I don't care how bad the news is. I don't care what report you get. I don't care what you're going through. God is still in control and nothing gets past him. And he loves you so much that he gave up his only son and he would just leave you stranded. I don't think so. I have to remind myself of that too. So I just pray that you remember that and you remain in the graces and the mercy and the love of the Father, and let him protect you and keep you and provide for you like he wants to for the rest of the days of your life on this earth and beyond. All right. In Jesus' name. All right. Well, we got a wonderful guest. I love her. Without further ado, Michelle Kirby. She's an author, a minister, a life coach, et cetera, et cetera. A host. She does everything, but she has a brand new book coming out and I'm super excited to introduce you to Michelle Kirby. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Dr. Gina. Thank you so much for that bubbly introduction. I'm just really blessed and thankful that you have called me to be on the show, and I love you too.
Well, I'm excited because I love the title of the book, and you and I had been discussing a little bit about the book and just everything. I was just super excited because we talk about mental health and things like that. I really am just so interested in the topic, and I want to talk more and more about it as often as possible, because like you had mentioned, a lot of people do suffer from that, and especially in the body of Christ in the church. And yes, so I want to talk about that. But I love the name of the book. It's called Turn the Light Back On. Girl, only you. That is, yes, so creative. I love it. I love it. And what a beautiful picture. Okay, so listen, you had mentioned, tell us about Turn the Light Back On. Why did this come to you to write?
So I'm a writer just by nature, English major, and I just love writing and reading and editing, and just, you know, people's stories just carry so much weight. And I've always said since I was a little girl, I'm going to write a book. But, it's always funny because it's our timing and our ambitions versus God's timing and what he has for us. So nothing comes to pass unless it's his timing, and I respect that. So I've always wanted to write a book. It just wasn't the timing for it. And by God, in 2014, when I had what occurred to me in 2014 was just so monumental that God just literally in my spirit just said, now. And so I literally wrote my book in 7 months. And it's just been an incredible journey because, you know, my past, we all have a past. We all have decisions that we make. We have things that happen to us. It's just life. We can't stay stuck in that place. And we can't have a pity party over it either. But I feel that the main culprit, or at least for me, for mental health and stability and balance, the main culprit is when we try to just allow people to label us, even in the positive ways, when people are like, oh, she's the strong one of the family. Oh, she's going to be fine. Oh, she's an overcomer. We start believing these things and we don't go to God to ask him, well, how do you see me and how do you want me to respond? So we just go more towards the validation of people when it can just be a hindrance and it could just be so bad for our lives in general. And so I fell victim to that amongst other things. And you know, my book will tell my story, but I wore that cape like I was Superwoman and like I had Teflon, like everything bounced off of me, so to speak, because it's the armor that I put. It's the facade that I placed upon myself to try to live the label that everyone was placing on me. When in fact, you know, I was a little girl with her own demons, with things happening around her that she couldn't control, seeing things and hearing things that I couldn't control, raised in the Bronx, New York, to a single mom who never got married at the time. And was abusive, both verbally and physically, to the point to where I left my house at 16 and I became an adult and I had 3 jobs and I went from relationship to relationship and try to just make my way and try to grow and leave a sister that was 7 years younger than me, leave her behind. It was just crazy how all these things that happened to me as a result of my decision and my choice to leave, because it was more of a, did she get thrown out or did she run away? Who really cares? Like, it happened. I left at 16, but everything that took course between my whole childhood and me being an adult in 2014, it culminated in a surreal way. All my demons started manifesting. And I'm like, God, like, I'm so close to you. I know you love me so much. Like, I am daughter of God. Like, I know he loves me and that he watches over me. It's why I'm here today. Because there's many ways and many situations where bad things could happen to me and I wouldn't be here to even write my story. But trying to suppress everything, I tell you, if you have unforgiveness in your heart or if you're suppressing traumas when they do come out, it's going to come out ugly and it's going to manifest in a way that you're not going to understand it. So my book is just a cry for everyone that wants to find hope at the end of any kind of vicious cycle, at the end of any kind of substance abuse, at the end of maybe being put in jail and they think their life is over because they were stealing. Like, there's just so many things that we put our hands on and that we touch during this journey called life, that everyone's story is powerful because it's not for us. It's not to wallow in the, oh, I didn't have a dad, therefore I was a little promiscuous because, oh, woe is me. I needed someone to love me. No, I made the choice. It was my decision. And so we have to own that. But with me, apparently I didn't own anything. I was just like, la-da-da, coasting, living, you know, going through the motions, trying to numb myself all the time so I wouldn't feel anything, think anything, or be cerebral about anything. And it's funny, when I had my rock bottom moment that I wound up in the mental home, it's weird because I am like the most balanced person that you can see until then. And so I think it's just so important to shine light on mental health because it happens to me, it can happen to anyone. And when
that's what I wanted to ask you. I want to ask you, just let me intervene for 1 second. I want to ask you, how did you know that you had something was going on wrong mentally? What was that moment?
Oh, because, okay, so I want to say a year after I was married for 1 year, I got married in 2013. Around May of 2014, I kept feeling like, it was probably April, I kept feeling like something weird was happening in my life and I could not put my finger on it. But I could tell like there was a shift and it wasn't a shift for good. Like, my shift was me mentally going downhill in a way that I could not put my finger on it and fix. And so I realize a sequence of events changing, and I'm like trying to analyze it. God, if I'm so, I'm at the happiest of my life. I am so blessed. I have no reason to be feeling the way I do. Why am I so depressed? Why am I anxious? So I started feeling, I was having panic attacks. They were coming really, really strong, where I really literally thought I was dying. After the panic attacks, when I'd try to go to sleep, I would have constant nightmares. Most of them were all replays of my childbirth, not my childbirth, sorry, my childhood, things that happened to me in my life. And it started around March, April of 2014, and it was consistent and constant every single day. So I was afraid to fall asleep. That's how I felt the change and the shift. And I don't, you know, I don't give the enemy credit, because honestly, God took everything and used it for good. But at the moment, I was a hot mess. And my husband hates that I use that word, but I have no other way to explain it. Like, literally was burning up. I would have like these internal fevers, and I would get hot. Then I look at my chest, it will be burning red, and then I couldn't breathe. Like, this happened every single night. My chest would tighten up. I would think of all these thoughts of my past, and like, wow, everything just flooded me, because I had suppressed it for such a long time, Dr. Gina, that it was just God trying to prune everything out of me so I could be the better version of me, because I wasn't there, but I thought I was. I was dressing cute. I was putting on the makeup. I was showing up. I was the life of the party. I was everything for everybody but me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I tell you I hit rock bottom, I did not sleep for 30 consecutive days.
Wow.
The doctors do not know how I even functioned, how my system didn't shut down, because on top of that, I wasn't drinking water, so I was severely dehydrated. I didn't want to eat. I lost about 35 pounds. I had abs in the way you never want to get them, okay? And I was a grown woman. This happened 5 years ago. I couldn't, at the point to where it was just too much, because my husband was trying to help me through it in our home. I had, you know, a lot of chain of events that had led to me being fully aware of myself and my life was my own downfall, because I left a job after 10 years. I resigned to go take on an entrepreneurial venture on my own. And it was just too many changes at the same time. But I was riding that ride horse of happy, you know, I was riding that high horse of happiness. I had just gotten married. I could take on the world. It was almost like a bipolar moment where I felt like I could do anything, but not realistically. And so in those moments, like, be careful what you ask for. You want to work from home? Well, from home, there's isolation. You know, people don't see things for what they are. There's so many nuggets and nooks and crannies that I could get into.
Yeah.
So please divert me to, you know, whatever questions you want me to answer. But I'm an open book, literally. And I just really care about people. And Dr. Gina, when I tell you I have reached out to top world platform pastors to get their take on it, because I was so blessed to get connections to do so. I was told I couldn't mention them, but I got back letters and reports stating that they too had the same situations happen to them, like during their pruning process with the Lord and certain moments of their lives where they also were checked into a mental institution under an assumed name because they couldn't even use their real name for fear of coming out and on social media and in the news. And I was blown away. I have 30 testimonies. I could only use in my book, like two, and I didn't mention their names.
Yeah. Well, I totally get it, because, you know, I mean, I too have had challenges where I thought, like, throughout my life, similar stories that, you know, wanted to commit suicide, didn't want to live, just was hopeless, and just, you know, sometimes felt like I was having a nervous breakdown, but then I didn't know really what that felt like, but I knew that something was out of, like, I couldn't control it. I knew it was some emotional stuff and things like that. And I really, I felt like I needed to see a therapist, you know. Prayer and binding and casting out just wasn't doing it. You know, it just wasn't, you know, I don't know, it might have sustained me, but it didn't do nothing. It didn't do it.
Right.
I literally needed to, the tools to know how to organize my thoughts and things like that. And when you're coming from an abusive home, those are the words that you're going to, you know, that is what the nurturing that you're getting is the abuse. And so you kind of grow up like any child. If it's positive or if it's negative, you know, if it's mm-hmm. negative, then they're going to grow up in a negative way of thinking about themselves and attract negative situations and people. It's just, you know, if you do it positive, I mean, people make mistakes and they, like you said, you got to own it. After so long, you make your choices and things right. like that. But those scars and those wounds can last a long time. And the whispers of the enemy right. will continuously remind you of what any of those words were said to you or, you know, or those times you felt a certain
Absolutely.
Way. So that's just what his job is. But thank God for his glory and that, you know, at Amen. The end, it's not about what people say. It's about what he says. And I'm so glad that's such a valid point. Again, you know, even with ministerial moment, it's like, you know, talk to him. Like, he's the one that can really show you are, who he created you to be, and what you are to him, what your position is, what your life is like, what he, you know, what he had in mind when he created you, what was his thoughts towards you. You know what I'm saying? Only he can reveal those things to you. And it's, and that's really what a lot of that's the reinforcement that a lot of people need, because it will destroy the yoke. Okay, because that's what's going to break it. Because people could tell a person all day long. I mentor people and I minister to people. And, you know, I could tell them, or other people can say, you're so creative. You're so amazing. You're so talented. You're so smart. But if they're bound by, you know, the impartation of that negativity for so long, it would only be God that can intervene and change that whole concept, transform that way of thinking, heal that soul. You know, transform that heart. But also, he has people that, like doctors, that can help you, you know, that are anointed to see.
Exactly.
And that, you know, that are not, they're not biased of, am I saying that biased? Yeah, they're unbiased. Yeah, they're unbiased.
Right.
About you, because they don't know you, so they don't have anything to gain.
Right.
They don't want to see, you know, you got your family members you might run into that might want to see you fail. They don't want to see you happy. Or you might have, you know, coworkers that, you know, want to be the crab on the top, you know. But when you
Absolutely.
Go to the therapist, you got somebody that is unbiased, that can actually, you know, get to you, talk to you, sort out your thoughts, hear what's going on, and be very clear with giving you the tools. And I just commend you for writing about the fact that you actually went to a facility. And tell us a little bit about that facility, your experience there.
Yeah, it was very traumatizing and enlightening at the same time, which is weird. So when I first got there, the events that led me getting there, you can see in my book, but they were very drastic and very dramatic. So in the facility, which I was supposed to be there to be able to sleep and be on medication so that I can get the rest that I needed so that I can continue, you know, so I can start my healing journey. And then I guess they're going to put me on a plan to see a therapist and take medication if need be and get proper nutrition and just talk it out, because that's mm-hmm. all we need, really, to talk mm-hmm. it out. While I was there, my first 3 days, because I was there June 26, 2014, and I got out on Independence Day on 7/4. My first 3 days, I kid you not, Dr. Gina, I was not able to sleep because I was placed in a room with another lady who was banging her head and on the bed
wow.
for, you know, the periods of when I was trying to sleep. And they would walk by the room and not even say anything to her. It's like I was just a tick. I was just a number. I was just a bracelet on my wrist. And I was literally bawling, crying, and trying to hold my head. And after 30 days of not sleeping, to be able to go into a facility and think you're going to get reprieve and be able to sleep, it's like your one wish. Like, you just want a glass of water and like 25 hours of sleep. I was mm-hmm. deprived that three more days. So it was like I was being further thrown into like this pit that I really felt I couldn't come out of. And if I keep talking about it, I'm going to literally cry, because I really felt like I was dying and that mm-hmm. I would never see my family again. Like, I was sent there to just die, because at that point I did not have the mental capacity to put everything together. I can just feel what I felt. And to be given Valium and to be given medicine that's supposed to knock you out and for you to still be awake is such a detriment to the brain, Dr. Gina, that I really
wow.
just thought this is it. Like, I can't function. Like, I don't understand what's happening. Until I got out and I did research and I found out, I did so many sleep study research, mental health research. I mean, I am a student of life, and all I did was research to better understand myself and to better relate to people. When I finally understood what happened to me, I was like in awe of God, because he's the only one that can have taken me out of that.
Wow.
So after the 3 days, because I would have to go fill out a sheet every day of how I slept, ironic. And then I'd have to see Dr. Jacob, who was my psychologist, of the floor. I had to see him and kind of tell him about my evening. I could not speak for 3 days. I did not eat for 3 days. I could not write for 3 days. I could not function for 3 days. I think I can barely get up and pee.
Mm-hmm.
And I was knocking. I can remember knocking my knees, and my knees were getting bony. I haven't had bony knees in 20 years. And I was like, I am dying. It was so traumatic. So then fast forward to around day 4 or 5, something happened. It must have been God, because they took that lady out of my room. Literally, she thought I was her nurse, and she kept asking me to bathe her and would drag me to try to bathe her.
Okay, wow.
And I'm like, what kind of facility am I in where she's just dragging me? There's cameras in my room. You'd think someone would come and help me. I didn't know there were cameras in my room until day 4, until the light started coming back on in my brain. I didn't know there were cameras and there was a way for me to ask for help. I felt like I was just stuck in a room of hell.
Oh, wow.
And she would call me different names. She was like, Margaret, come and bathe me. It's time. And screaming at me. And I'm surprised she didn't get more violent with me. She would just grab me by my wrist really hard and try to take me to her to the bathroom. And by the grace of God, nothing happened. I couldn't get into the bathroom. Someone would come in and then intervene at that point. But she'd scream at me for 2 hours in a row, bang her head.
What an experience. So, you know, just, wow. That
is
an experience.
Incredible.
So now that you've come out of that, because I know a lot of this is in the book and everything. I know you've been writing about it. I don't want to give too much of it away, because it sounds.
Right.
I mean, if you're not interested in at this point, I don't know what's wrong. I want to get the book so I can read what happened next and what's, you know, the revelation that God has given you. But I love your passion to be so transparent and want to help people come out of situations, prevent them from going in situations. I love the take ownership thing, because after you get so, you know, you done made choices that you know were bad, but we understand the root of the issue, but we also know that you have to take ownership. You can't keep blaming your mom or who did what, because, you know, you getting high and stuff. Okay. But you know that, you know, you're getting high, and you know that you're stripping, or you know that you're prostituting, or you know, you're doing whatever, is not, whatever it is. These are choices that you're making. And once you start taking that, then that's when the healing really begins. But please tell everybody where they can purchase the book. When is the book available? I know you got something coming up, on the 4th, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, not on the 4th, on the 7th.
Yes. So my book can be found on Amazon.com if you just want to click and type Turn the Light Back On, Michelle Kirby. I recommend the paperback versus the Kindle version, because there's a lot of deep searching that I do, and I dig deep and ask you questions at the end of every chapter. It's a very easy read. It's double spaced and everything, so you can write in the margins and in between. It's a phenomenal read, and I'm not saying that because I wrote it. I've got so many great reviews. You can check them out on Amazon as well. Or you can go to my website, therealmichellekirby.com. When you scroll, if you're on your mobile app, scroll to the bottom and just click on Buy Book. It'll take you to the Amazon page straight through there. That way you can see what else I'm about and kind of connect with me and follow me on social media so I can follow you back. I'm just really excited to hear testimonies. I've had testimonies from the Fiji Islands, from correctional facilities, from people that I never knew how they got my book. One lady said that Oprah Winfrey's office sent her a book. Like, it's just been testimony after testimony, and I've just been blessed by them, because this one book also healed like 8 family members in the Fiji Islands, and just like because of God and how his power transcends through words, and healing is shared. Healing is not a one person thing.
That's right.
So they can get it on Amazon.com, or they can get it off my website, therealmichellekirby.com. I will be doing a book launch December 7th at the Pink Halo Boutique. They're sponsoring me there. It's a beautiful venue and setup. So I figured, why not? I like to also showcase the new and upcoming businesses that we have, because women entrepreneurs are incredible, and I love collaboration.
That is so awesome. And this is in Greenville, South Carolina. So go ahead and follow Michelle Kirby. It was such a blessing to have you on. Turn the light back on.
Thank
I love
you.
That title. I love you. You are amazing.
Thank
and just
you.
You're welcome to come anytime on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. We love you here. And go and get that book. It's going to bless your soul.
Thank you
for
so
sure.
much for having me. Yes.
Oh,
thank
you are so welcome. I'll talk to you soon, sis.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thank you. All right. So now we're going to take a commercial break. And then right after that, we have DJ Spivey. This is brand new to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. You guys, we have, oh my God, a gospel house mix. He's coming on once a month. He's added on to the family. So we're going to turn up in Jesus once a month to shake some stuff off. If you guys love it, let me know so we can maybe get him more. Maybe every show we can do a 5-minute segment with him. But he's starting off today with this DJ David Spivey. You can follow him on all social media. DJ Spivey, Dave James Spivey on Facebook, DJ Spivey on YouTube and everywhere. He's amazing. But you got to stay tuned so you can hear it, and go and tell your friends all about this. And I hope you were blessed by Michelle, because that was amazing. All right. We'll be right back after these messages. Thank you.
Yeah.
Somebody shout glory.
freedom and deliverance are available to you and born into sin, transformed into destiny by Dr. Gina R. Prince. One woman's story is everyone's struggle and born into sin, transformed into destiny. Available now at drginaprince.com.
Hi, my name is Gina R. Prince, and I am super excited about sharing with you my new fitness DVD called Health and Soul. Health and Soul, what does that mean? Well, for me, one day when I was praying and speaking with the Lord, and He ministered to me, He put that in my spirit, Health and Soul. And He said the meaning of that is that I want people to be healthy, and I want their souls to be healed and whole as well. He said wholeness. And so as the time has gone by, God has really ministered to me about what He wants from the body of Christ as far as us being whole. He wants our mind healed and whole. He wants our body healed and whole. He wants our souls healed and whole. And so this is the beginning of the journey. And so.
I'm walking in my favor. Gonna happen sooner or later. I'm walking. Mm-hmm. Listen, y'all, this is Lucinda Moore, and you are listening to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. I am walking in my favor.
Yes, I am walking in my favor, too. Oh, I love that drop. I mean, that interview was so amazing with DJ David Spivey. I'm just loving it. We're going to have to play that again. He just had me jamming for the Lord. I'm so excited. I wish I was a DJ. Now, coming up next, beautiful people, we got my girl, the fitness trainer. She's a personal fitness trainer, and she worked me, honey, to death the last time I was in D.C. You guys, Miss Elizabeth Brooks. Good morning.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
I mean, we are doing. It is Wednesday. We almost through this week, Elizabeth.
All right. I hear you. And let me just give everybody a happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's, and a happy past Thanksgiving. This is a really intense time of year. It's like in within 6 to 8 weeks, we have a number of major holidays.
We do.
One of those holidays, of course, is New Year's. And I know at this time of year, people start thinking about goals for the next year. And so I really want to talk to everybody today about building smart workout goals. And SMART is not just, you know, the word SMART, but SMART is an acronym. And that acronym stands for Specific, Measurable, Attainable, Relevant, and Time-Based Goals. And I deal with people with these issues with their goals all the time. Whenever I see people, you know, we talk about their goals and what they want to do, say, oh, you know, make me look like so-and-so and so, or I want to look like, you know, this person, or, you know, so I really want to talk a little bit about goals today and encourage everybody as they start looking into the new year at their health and their fitness and their wellness that they start building some SMART goals. So SMART, let's start with that first letter in the acronym. S stands for specific. Listen, people, you can't, in order to achieve a goal, your goal has to be specific. You know, the difference between specific is saying, oh, I want to be healthy. Okay, that is so general that it's really hard to target what you need to do to achieve that. A more specific goal, it would be like, okay, I want to lose weight, or I want to improve my fitness level, or I want to train for an event like a 5K or a marathon. So I want to encourage everybody, as you start building, as you start thinking about the kind of goals and things you want to do for next year, be specific with your goals. No general goals like I want to be healthy, okay? Okay, keep those goals specific. Think, what do you want to specifically do to get to that healthy point? Keep those goals, the letter M, measurable. Okay, so your goals have to be quantifiable, people. If you decide that you want to lose weight in the coming year, fine, that's great. But you can't just say, oh, I want to lose weight. Be specific and measurable with your goals. Let's say, I want to lose 10 pounds, or I want to run 5 miles, or I want to be able to do a chin-up. Those are all very measurable goals. You know, you can see where you're going to go, and they're quantifiable. That letter A is for attainable. Okay, so this is the biggest challenge with most people's goals, that their goals are, I want to lose 20 pounds in 2 weeks, and so I can look good in a swimsuit when I go, you know, to the pond. Okay.
I mean, this is what people come to me with this stuff all the time, okay?
Wow.
So people, let's keep those goals attainable, okay? Start small so that you can, with your goals, and so that you can see early wins. So if I decide I want to lose 10 pounds, okay, and I want to lose those pounds, maybe an attainable goal, and it's normal to lose 1 to 2 pounds a week. So if I'm going to keep my goals attainable, I'm going to lose 5 pounds in 4 weeks. That's an attainable goal, okay? Keep your goals relevant, people. That's the R in SMART. Okay, what is your why? Why do you want to do this? I think a lot of people set goals, but they don't really, you know, want to address those whys. The whys are what keep you engaged in the process. Am I motivated to do what my goal is? And why is this important to me? For example, you know, maybe you want to lose those 10 pounds in 2 months because you want to lower your blood pressure so you can get off your blood pressure medication. That is a relevant goal, right? You know, and that will help improve your overall health and wellness profile. So I want to encourage everybody to make sure you find your why. You have to know why you're going after these things. And, you know, most times we know why, we just don't really talk through it. And that why is your motivator, right?
Okay.
And it's going to keep you engaged in your goal. And the letter T, SMART. Okay, so that in the letter T in the SMART is for timely or time-based goals. Your goals have to have a deadline, people. Now, the deadline is not there to kind of hang over you, but it's there to motivate you so that you can know if you are you getting close to your goal or are you way far from your goal. You want to keep those timed, keep your goals timely. So that they're realistic and achievable. If you, for example, don't sign up for a marathon, okay, in a month, okay, if you're not even a runner, okay? But I see this all the time. A lot of people come in and say, okay, I want to run a marathon, and there's a marathon coming up in February, and I want to do it. I'm like, okay, well, how long have you been running? Well, I don't run. Okay, well, what is that? That's... That is not really a good goal for a person, okay?
No.
You want to pull that back a little bit. Okay, maybe ultimately you want to work up to a marathon, but maybe the first thing you're going to do is a 5K. So let's keep those, and that 5K is in 2 months. Okay, we can handle that. I can get you running or run walking a 5K in 2 months, okay? So.
Right.
Let's keep our goals. I want to encourage everybody. I know people like to make these goals and they set them. And some of the reasons why we don't achieve our goals is because they're not SMART goals. They're not specific. Mm-hmm. They're not measurable. They're not attainable. They're not relevant. And they're not time-based. And so let's make sure that we are really keeping our goals SMART. And let's remember to just, that's going to help us with the follow-through, right? So once you set your goals, that's going to be the beginning of your follow-through. And sometimes you need help with that. One of my favorite things to do when I set a goal is to tell 2 or 3 people about it. It really does motivate you, right?
Hold
it gives
you
that sense of accountability. That's right. That's the word. I love it.
So I love
remember that. You know, let's keep that follow-through going after you make your goals. Tell 2 or 3 people about it, you know, who love you and care for you. And they're going to help keep you in remembrance of your goals.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. Now, y'all heard it now. Now, listen to me come and tell y'all all the time, so I'm hoping y'all paying attention. Get some goals. You're not going to lose 20 pounds in 2 weeks. I'm just going to tell you right now unless you starve to death. And then I hope you make it to 2 weeks. Elizabeth Brooks, thank you so much. Let them know where they can follow you, they can find you, and get more tips.
That's right.
Elizabeth, tell them where they can find you, honey, and get more tips.
Okay.
About
all right. So you all know you can look for me at www.thinkingcorrectly.com, or you can email me at ebrooks@thinkingcorrectly.com. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful holiday season.
You have a wonderful holiday season, you guys. Elizabeth Brooks, make sure you follow her. Thank you so much, honey. Enjoy the rest of your day.
My pleasure.
Now, beautiful.
You too.
beautiful people, we have to talk about Estelle Gant. She has a event coming up, Diamonds and Denim, where they are going to honor our very own Dr. Gina R. Prince. It is going to be in Detroit, December the 6th, this Friday. I'm so excited, and I'm so sad at the same time. But I am going to miss it because I will be in Fort Lauderdale performing for the AKAs. Hello, Scoop, or Scoop, whatever they say. I don't know about these sororities. I went to beauty school. But anywho, I want you guys to make sure you go on Estelle and check out her page. And you can find all the information about how they're going to be honoring Miss Gina R. Prince. I'm so excited about it. Now, look, you guys, as you know, it is time for Gina G with the trending beat. Because you know I got it, okay? I'm going to do it really quick, really, really quick. It's going to be so short. First, I just want to give a happy birthday to Jay-Z, y'all. It's Jay-Z's 50th birthday. I know he's listening. What's up, Jigga? I know he's listening in my mind and soul. He is listening. But happy birthday to Jay-Z. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. Also, I don't know if you guys know anything about Ray J. Ray J is Brandy, who is an actress, a singer. It's her brother. And if you've been dealing with the feud between him and his wife and him leaving him stranded in Vegas and all that good stuff, they are going to clear it up. If you can take a look on The Shade Room, which is on Instagram, and you can see the interview that he did with Wendy Williams explaining all of that stuff. Pamela Harris, y'all, woo, she backed out the 2020 election. Now, I'm not a real political person, but I will say I was not rooting for the lady. I understand that she's one of us, but she might not be for us. So I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that. So that is my trending tea, y'all. My girl, Dr. Gina R. Prince, is in California, on her way to California right now. She is going to the Trumpet Awards, so I cannot wait that she comes back and gives us all the juice and all the outfits and the fashion and the people, all the good drama. Of course, there's going to be drama anytime you're in Hollywood. I don't care what stream, gospel, hip-hop, movies, it's going to be drama because it's Hollywood. But anyway, my name is Gina G. I'm so glad you guys joined us today on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. I want you guys to make sure that you go on Alexa, let Alexa know that she can play Gina's Radio Chat, and we will come up each and every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I want you guys to live happy, live whole, you know, live for yourselves, live for your family. It's holiday season. Make sure you listen to what Elizabeth told us about our goals, because summer is around the corner. I know it don't feel like it, because it's 32 degrees and 22 degrees everywhere. Even in California, they had snow on Thanksgiving. So even though it is cold, right now is when you're supposed to be working on your summer body. But you're not going to lose 20 pounds in 2 weeks. So we're going to take your time and drink some water. So live healthy, live whole. Until next time on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat, we love you. Bye-bye.